We aren't going to make a big deal about it, are we?
Welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and I am joined by Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
And Jan Bilton.
Hello.
Returning from the sunny Algarve.
Yes, I am.
Did you have a nice break?
It was wonderful, yes.
Great. Very well, okay.
Warm,
yeah.
And nice.
Yeah.
They don't really want to know.
Did you get
they're not, remotely interested in your holiday.
Yes.
They're here for the football.
Yes, and what great football there's been.
Wasn't it brilliant?
I know, because international breaks are usually quite boring, aren't
they? Yes.
But this one wasn't, was it?
Not in the slightest.
Because England were playing.
England were playing.
And they got a new manager and everything.
And they've got a new manager and everything. Yeah, and I know Scotland were playing as well. Yadda yadda yadda. They were playing Malta and won very well, didn't they?
Yes.
And it's all very, very exciting.
Wales are playing as we speak and in charge by the sound of things.
Yeah, well, they are, because, you know, they're Wales. They're like, you know, they're the European semi-finalists.
They certainly are, yeah. One of the best teams in Europe. And so naturally, they will be in control of the situation.
Yes. So this week, the Sound of Football is going to be talking international football and really just one guy in particular, aren't we?
Yes.
We are going to be concentrating on the New England manager, Sam Allardyce. It's weird, isn't it? Because Sam's been around forever, hasn't he? And I think he's been pretty much a trope in himself, hasn't he, really? He is a meme. They're ready-made, isn't it? Classic sort of like, you know, it's a Midland Erdney, isn't it? And not shy of his working-class roots.
No.
And, you know, he's just an archetypal English manager. I suppose that's how he's portrayed anyway, and that's how people like to think of him anyway.
No, he doesn't like that, I don't think.
No.
The whole Allardyce thing. He's of the view that, you know, he's a progressive, and if he'd been Italian, he would have got, you know, a shot at the bigger jobs in English club football. But yeah, that is how he's perceived as big, working class, and traditional.
Yeah, I suppose as well. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, because he's actually managed your club.
Yeah.
So you probably know him better than us anyway. Or you've given more thought to Sam Allardyce and the way he runs a football club. Anyway, do you think that's fair? That sort of very sort of like superficial thought of him just being, you know, 4-4-2. Lump it to the big man up front, or put it down the channels, chucking a floater.
I think there's a few things at play here, and without getting too political, I think his accent and the way he carries himself plays a big part in that in some circles. I think, Terry, you and I have had the conversation many a time about him being perceived as being a dinosaur, where he's anything but that, and he's very progressive, and the time he spent out in America towards the end of his career taught him a lot about... you know, concentrating on fitness and diet,
analytics.
He learned a lot from that time. So I think he's anything but a dinosaur. But you know, he's a big guy. He's rotund and he's got a northern accent. And unfortunately, he's gonna he has earned that reputation, if you like. And as well as that, he's managed some rather unfashionable clubs as well. And I think that goes along.
I think he's gone pretty much around the classic old clubs of the northwest, like Preston North End and Bolton and Blackpool, clubs with a rich football history, but obviously clubs that when you think about them, you think of baggy shorts and Nat Lofthouse, don't you?
Yes,
yeah, you do.
You do.
And I think that one
about the accent, the northern accent as well, is that actually, if you listen to him, he has a Midland accent. He's from Dudley, and he sounds like he's from Dudley.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's from the northwest.
Maybe slightly informal, but he spent so much of his life in the northwest.
So
that in itself is a bias on behalf of perhaps people down south who don't know how to recognise accents from outside of London or from the Estuary area.
Yeah.
But actually, his accent is quite obviously a Midland accent. But you tend to just you know, it's like oftentimes people, you know, think that you're from Newcastle.
Yeah, bloody hell!
Idiots.
Can't imagine that. Idiot holes.
I think that where he will prove he has proved a lot of people wrong, and he still doesn't get a lot of credit for it, is that he has taken a ragtag bunch of underachievers and done something with them. So it made him the perfect candidate for the England team, really, isn't it? Because that's exactly what they are.
He knows how to organise a rabble.
Yeah, he does.
And he can't replace Joe Hart with Jussi Jäskeläinen, though. But, so it does have some limits.
But if he could, he bloody well would. And I'm sure Charles Nzonzi will be around somewhere as well.
I think that's one thing, because he has been making, I wouldn't say silk purses out of Sal's ears, but he has made Sal's ears into something quite practical.
Mm-hmm. He's worked with some quality players, so JJ Okocha and Ivan Campo.
Yeah.
He's worked with some quality players.
Yeah.
You know, that's just thinking of two off the top of my head, but there are others that he's worked with. So he does know how to work, how to manage talent.
Didn't he?
Of course.
Didn't he sign him as well?
He did, and put him to work as well.
Yeah.
And so he is, you know, good at managing, you know, talented players, no doubt in some instances with pretty big egos. So, you know, he's not, I reject completely the idea that he's a dinosaur.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that being said, I don't think that, you know, yesterday's show, beyond the greatness of the result, was a really a great testimony to that theory. but nevertheless, you know.
I have to admit that I missed the first half.
Oh, shame.
You missed all of the... No, hang about, that was at the end. You missed great.
It was hilarious. It was like two teams standing at the other side of each other. It was like watching British Bulldog, really, because he got his tactics, bless his cotton, he got them wrong.
Right.
And he naively thought that Slovakia, being at home, would look to take the game to England, and they didn't. They were Slovakia, and they played their counter-attacking game, and it all got a bit sort of, shall we say, pedestrian. Literally pedestrian. Mm. During the first half, and then that whole business with where on earth is Wayne Rooney playing, all that stuff.
What the hell is Wayne Rooney doing here?
I do hope we get the chance to talk about that. But yeah, the whole thing. What is Wayne Rooney doing standing there when we were told he would be a much further up there? But it didn't happen. Yeah. And the second half obviously was the second half.
Yeah. Did you watch it solely on telly, or did you watch it whilst looking at social media at the same time?
I did a bit of social mediaing. I must confess, I did watch a bit of it on social media.
It was too good to miss,
mostly,
though, really?
Largely because I was just watching everyone getting more and more steamed up, and that's why, because I tweeted at when he scored, I did glorious, and it wasn't necessarily because of the goal and the victory. It was more the whole, you know, suddenly everyone's mindset is going to have to alter massively because they've actually just won. We were all going to be going, oh god, here we go, there comes the onslaught. It's a disaster. It's terrible. And of course, there's no reason to say it isn't a disaster and it isn't terrible, but they won.
Yeah.
So suddenly now it's like, ha, they've just nicked one.
Yeah. I got through a lot of ironing in that game. I thought, I'm going to do some ironing while this is on. And then I did some more wife's ironing as well. It was a terrible game.
Dagen pressing, huh?
Very good.
Yeah, more of that on the ironing board than there was on the pitch, I can tell you.
Yeah, it was a terrible game. But I mean, they scored in the last minute, the last minute plus five, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you go back to Alex Ferguson's time at Manchester United, they scored in the last minute. It's amazing they can keep them going to the last possible minute. They said the same about Roy Keane at Sunderland when he got us promoted. Again, going back, is it Sam? Oh, it took they couldn't score throughout the whole game. They didn't know what they were doing with Rooney. You know, it's his first game in charge of a load of deflated players who have had probably their own egos on their back, the media on their back, supporters on their back, and you know they're gonna feel like, you know, what are we gonna do here? There's a lot of pressure on us, and it's his first game.
Although, in fairness, he genuinely didn't know what Wayne Rooney was doing. I mean, that wasn't just an empty criticism. He didn't. I mean, he said afterwards that he's given Wayne Rooney the freedom. It would seem, certainly on the basis of what he said, unless he's not being entirely serious when he says this. He said that, you know, this guy knows more about international football than me. Yeah. I'm letting him do what he does, which I find extraordinary at international level. If that's the case, for an England manager to be so cavalier, to allow a player with so much license to do pretty much what he wants. I mean, he got further up the pitch and helped out Harry Kane, who, poor guy, who's struggling for form and then was just left on his own while his strike partner's fucked off down the other end of the pitch. Harry Kane did okay given that he's not playing well and given that, you know, the team is not playing very well. But yeah, so he was a little bit more, shall we say, tactically disciplined in the second half, I think. But I mean, I'm not quite sure what the end game with that is. But I mean, I suppose ultimately, if they keep banging in late winners, no one's going to care.
Exactly. I mean, there's one thing that Sam is good at doing, and he can extract a very, very ugly win. And you know, as England supporters need to, you know, I think England supporters sometimes are a lot like Chelsea or West Ham fans and think there's an England way of playing. And that's distilled down to the game in 1966 when we won the World Cup. That's the England way, just that afternoon. And you know, that's not the case and hasn't been for a long time. And it wasn't like that for a long time before that game as well. And you know, Sam will win ugly. But he will get results. And he will get he certainly did yesterday.
Didn't get much uglier than that. That was pretty ugly. I mean, in fairness, Slovakia played their part in the ugliness. It was definitely a game with two teams involved.
You wouldn't think that reading the press today, though.
No, you wouldn't do. But I mean, that was inevitable. I mean, in fairness, in many respects, it was no different to England under Roy Hodgson. Pretty much the same players, a little less Ross Barkley, a little more Theo Walcott, but largely it was the same team and pretty much the same manager. I mean, no one would have been surprised if that performance had been under Roy Hodgson. The only possible difference is that we can add that lovely Allardyce narrative because there was that late winner.
Yeah.
And you've got the whole thing with Allardyce. It's his first game in charge. You know, the guy has come from... I'm not going to say nowhere, that's insulting, but he has come from modest backgrounds. He was a limited player, and his coaching career has been, you know, difficult. I mean, he's been, even when he was at his peak, he was turned down for the job. Now he's got this job, and it is in many respects a great story, and it's one that you can get. I have to say that I wouldn't be surprised if this had been 4 years ago and this had been Harry Redknapp and doing something like them and the stuff that Sam was doing, I would have been livid and I'd have been calling for his head. It's entirely a bias on my own part, which I freely admit to. So I like Sam, I don't like Harry. So I tolerate these eccentricities in Sam's management because I like him. But I can understand that if you don't like Sam, then you must be pretty angry with what happened there, because we did get away with it, totally got away with it.
But that, you could say that about virtually any personality in football.
Yes.
I mean, I think the way that they're treated by fans and the press, all the media, is basically down to if you like the cut of their jib or not.
Yes.
Rather than how good they are at football or what results they produce.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, Jose Mourinho would never get sacked from clubs, would he?
No.
I think when you say Jose there, I think that's a really good point, because Sam's come into this very high-profile role at the same time that Mourinho's taken over at Manchester United.
Yeah.
Pep's come in at City. Klopp's, he's been in for a little while at Liverpool. But you've got all these big, fashionable names in the English game now, and you've got Sam, and I say that because I think it's unfair, but you've got Sam leading the national team, and you know, with the press are writing about Pep 1 minute and Jose the next, and Sam's England manager.
I think it works nicely, because I mean, I know Sam will big up his team and he'll say big things. He's got a great relationship with the press as well, which will help him a lot. But I do think that in another way, that prejudice about Sam and about his and regards to his pedigree will perhaps educate and lower the expectations of most England fans. I mean, we should be, as England fans, comfortable with the fact that we are the second best team in the UK, right? Because now, obviously, Wales are the best team in the UK, and certainly by the way they were playing today, they're going to continue to be the best team. Even in the 10 minutes that I watched them, they look far more coordinated. They know what they're doing. They're well coached. They're well drilled. They've really, really got it together. Whereas England are an absolute rabble And it's just the only difference is that under Sam, they've suddenly become a likable rabble, whereas under Hodgson, they were just nothing.
Yeah.
Sadly,
I think we kind of know this from the way it's gone in the past with England managers, but it's the weight of expectation, which, to be fair, Wales don't have. Scotland don't have, and Northern
Ireland
don't
have.
Scotland
have got it, though, surely.
Yeah.
Scotland have always got that, haven't they?
Yeah, but not to the extent that England does.
So?
And that ends up just on the manager's shoulders, really.
Wave after wave of failure to qualify has finally beaten them down, or something.
And I think it's massively unjustified, and it's completely wrong, and it goes back to what I said earlier about this kind of arrogance that England are the best team in the world, which I think a lot of supporters and people probably inside of football have had for a long, long time. And and that expectation's still there.
And we'll have it again.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think there is definitely a feeling amongst certain areas of the media that actually don't want to see England do well. I think that where we do have this whole club versus country battle that always goes on, and I think the clubs hate the fact that England draws so much attention away from the Premier League, because obviously the Premier League is you know the only show in town.
Mm.
But it goes to show that there was thousands of England fans out there.
Yes,
out there. I mean, I wondered, did these people book before Euro 2016? Or did they look at that and think, well, it can't get any worse, can it? Let's all go over to Slovakia
and
have a great time.
I don't know how easy a journey is. It's not out of the question that some of them might have done. You know, I mean, they just go. They're just like, well, you know, so what? Let's just go anyway and see what happens. Because, I mean, they just follow the England. I mean, it's all part of the... It's a weekend away, isn't it? I mean, you know...
They do have a very loyal following.
Summer holidays are still on, and they are. They do have a very loyal following. They do, you're quite right. So, yeah, I wouldn't... Yeah, I mean, it's... But despite everything, the appetite of the travelling England fan doesn't seem to be diminished.
No.
On the evidence of that. And I would imagine that the appetite of the home-based England fan won't be diminished. And if there were any tickets outstanding for the next game against Malta, then I think imagine they'll get snapped up pretty quickly, solely on the basis of what actually was a pretty average show, but with a magnificent ending. With a fantastic climax,
and thanks to the whole theory of recency, then we only remember the last minute or so, don't we?
Yes,
anyway,
we do.
So,
yeah,
great performance, you know.
Yeah, and who wants to think about average?
Yeah,
no one wants to think about.
No
average.
One wants to think about that. Yeah. That's why we have highlight shows.
That is why we have highlight shows. And in this case, there would have been a very short highlight show.
And of course, you know, it was even better because the Slovak goalkeeper was like doing his utmost to waste time and like, you know, having to his knees covered in water. And I hope it was just the fact that his freshly drenched knees were to blame partly for the way that the ball skidded between them.
Yeah.
See, I love that.
That's great. I mean, and something that Sam was perfectly happy to point out in his post-match interview,
exactly.
Which was, the post-match interview was an interview of a club manager who'd just won a game.
Yeah.
And he was all pumped, and he was talking trash, really, by international football standards. And international football managers are really diplomatic. They're like Formula One drivers.
Yeah.
They're really boringly diplomatic. Whereas he's like, yes, no, we won, in your face.
Have that.
I'm going to have a pie up yours.
Yeah, you know, just walks out, tapping out a fag.
Plugging down a beer, eating a pie, and saying, up yours, modern football.
Yes.
this could be great, though, really entertaining, because you imagine him up against France or Germany with that kind of attitude.
Well, I'm looking forward to the Scotland game.
Oh.
I mean, that will verge on, that will move into the world of banter, sadly. But I think that it's going to be, you know, there'll be a lot of trash talking. I don't think Sam's going to hide away from that. And when people drill out that old cliche about, oh, we want passion from our England manager, and it is tedious when you hear that, when you hear people saying that, but I think actually that's what they mean. They probably want a manager who can just be a little bit, you know, lippy, and maybe reflective of some of our, you know, darker characteristics.
Give it a bit of pub talk.
Yeah, giving it some English arrogance, you know.
Yeah.
But not the kind of arrogance the expectancy to win, but the arrogance of, yeah, come on, yeah, as you say, a bit of pub talk, a bit of fronting up and, you know, come on in, let's have a game of football.
Yeah, it is quite a political role, isn't it? It's almost like being, you know, commissioner of the Met or something like that. You know what I mean? You're just expected to be this perfect person.
Well, it
and
is.
Be a
it
diplomat
is.
At the same
and,
time.
And like most media organs, we do tend to fall whether or not we are for or again things. And we were definitely for Roy, weren't we? When
we were.
Was there. We stuck by Roy
we
quite
did.
A long way.
Longer, far longer than we should have.
And been. I think we're coming
we're
to an
the
idea.
Same mistake.
We're making the same mistake again. Oh, yeah. We are actually. We're thinking. Hey, we like Sam. Don't we?
Yeah.
But well, I think we've always liked Sam. We always liked the cut of his jib. I mean, no, not always, admittedly, because you know there have been reasons. He's had a long career, and there have been reasons, no doubt, down the years to not like him. But in general, I think he's a pretty likable guy. Yeah.
He's not Tony Pulis, is he?
He's not Tony Pulis.
No. Exactly.
No, he certainly isn't. That would be a different kettle of fish altogether.
Yeah.
If he was Tony Pulis.
This would be a very different podcast.
This would be a very different podcast.
For a start, he's Welsh.
He's Welsh to begin with.
Thankfully.
Well, yeah, I mean, Mark Sampson is Welsh. And,
yeah, that's
I mean,
true.
So, I mean,
yeah, he's
doing
great things.
And
he's
doing great things. But
two Welsh managers getting to two semi finals.
Yes, of major tournaments, within the space of a year. Yeah. I was just thinking something that you just said, which I forget what it was, but what it led me on to was that I think that managers recognise that it's players, that Sam possibly recognises that actually it's his players who are going to do this and not him. Mm-hmm. So I think we're, and the test of that theory is when we lose or when we massively mess up and how much of it he takes.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if we lose and he goes out there and stands there and talks to, you know, Gabriel Clark and says, well, we totally should have won that game. This was all wrong. The referee messed this up and that was all done and everything there and all that and starts blaming absolutely everybody else, you know, in this really partisan, non-diplomatic manner of a Premier League club footballer, mm-hmm. then we'll know that he's just, his job there is just basically to absorb all the crap, and so the players don't get blamed. Mm. I mean, he might well have seen some of those exposés of by the Sun on Raheem Sterling during the summer, shocking, bordering on racist, frankly, shocking treatment of a young man. Mm. And I don't care what he's done, appalling way to treat a young man, and thinking can't have that. While players won't be able to respond under those kind of pressure, so it needs to be on him, and he is definitely a big enough kind of character to absorb that. So, you know, I imagine he will absorb that with no difficulty. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But really, what he's more the lightning rod for the team, and actually perhaps is allowing his team to decide how best to do this.
It is interesting. I mean, I don't know how he is going to be treated by the press, and I think we can guess how we are at the moment because of what he is and his past he's had. But when you look at managers who have come before him coming into the role, I think, is he going to be looked at more like someone like Graeme Taylor and Steve McLaren rather than someone like Roy Hodgson or even Sven when they came in? Because, you know, Sven and Roy came in as these sort of people that have got a worldly view. These are the guys who've done it in Europe and managed there. Whereas, obviously, Taylor and McLaren were obviously embedded in the English game.
Mm.
And, of course, we look at Taylor and McLaren, of course, with it. Well, they were probably the two worst that we've actually had.
Yeah. And that we'll see what it all depends on the results, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that in terms of relationships, we might be get a closer relationship between. It might be a close comparison to say Venables in the media, who has always got on well with the British press.
I think that's a really good point. I think because as well, McLaren and Taylor both came in with this sort of thing. It's like, yeah, this is all about me. This is me doing this. I'm the one pulling all the strings.
Yeah. With McLaren, the first thing he did was drop Beckham.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to come to that point.
Yeah.
You think back on it now, and he brought him back as well. And then he brought him back when everything was going badly wrong.
Conversely, the first thing that, well, not the first thing that Allardyce did, but he didn't take that option.
No, and he could easily have done it.
Exactly.
The gun was being loaded.
So what he did was make him centre of his world almost. He's the centre of the England team. He's the beating heart of the team. He should be able to go out there and marshal the troops. He's the captain. So, you know, if anything, he needs allies, doesn't he?
As David Hartrick said on Football Fires last week, he's Kevin Nolan'd him.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Whoa.
Very good.
But I mean, maybe that's what this is all about. I mean, maybe maybe that's what he just thinks. Well, these guys, you know, are guys. They're players. They know how to play football. They should do this.
Mm. Yeah. Well, if you want, so if you want this whole Club England thing coming up, then that's what you've got to be going for, isn't it?
Mm. Mm.
That's what you've got to be trying to achieve.
And I mean, might as well give it a go because nothing else worked. So why not? I mean, what difference does it make? I mean, if the end game is, you know. But all everybody wants, I think, all Englishmen genuinely want, actually deep down, reasonable England fans want, is for us to qualify for a major tournament and to exit them with dignity. I think really and truly that is what everybody, I think everyone is happy with everything. Everything else is to a degree bluster, maybe a bit of, you know, dickishness.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly from my point of view, you know, just, you know, if they can exit tournaments having given their absolute best, then I mean, you know, I would be happy.
Mm.
You know? Agreed. And then you know, I could enjoy the rest of the tournament without England stinking up the place.
And I think if there's one person's going to do that, I think it'll be him, because I think the difference with the England footballers is they've been in the past is that they've been expected to behave like international footballers. Whereas I don't think Sam's going to be getting them going, oh, you're wearing the shirt with, you know, all that. You behave like England pros. You know, he'll be getting them to go out, you know, roll your sleeves up and get stuck into the game. That's certainly what he did at Sunderland. And to your earlier point, there was no criticism of the players once he came in.
Mm.
You know, everything was on him.
Yeah.
I'm setting up the team from today. Anything goes wrong, it's my fault.
Yeah.
And he protected the players. And he brought in some really good new players. So it might be interesting to see if he does do anything with some different talent than the standard.
And Scotland in November.
Yes.
Can't wait for that.
Yes, Poppygate.
Poppygate. The whole that's going to be on Remembrance Day. That's going to be a game. That's going to be a terrible game of football.
That is, well,
I can't wait.
The whole narrative around in that game is going to be horrible.
It's got horribleness potential.
Yeah, they will. The sun will be demanding the FA stick poppies on absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Just because they know they won't be allowed
to. Just because they won't be allowed to, yeah. Then they'll get outraged when
we vote out for this.
Yes, we didn't. Yeah, that's right. It'll be,
yes,
indeed. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've said quite enough about this subject, haven't we?
Yes, for now.
For now. But, we'll be coming back to this one, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's 2 months' time when we've got when no points sacked. From nothing and been sacked. Yeah.
When we fail to score against Malta. I'm gonna have to like make a few drops out of this recording so we can put it in there and we've got all our positivity.
Absolutely.
Crap 94 and a half minutes against Slovakia. I'm sure people are listening to us, right? Some people are listening to this a couple of months' time as well. After other games have happened. Yeah. You know, they'll come back and say, oh yeah, let's have a listen. Because they're weird.
Yeah.
No, you're not weird.
No, you're not weird.
You're great.
Yeah, yeah. You're brilliant.
Not you.
Yeah,
you're
great. You're the one next to you. Not so good. Yeah.
Yes, and we always do appreciate you listening to the podcast. We know that there are lots of other podcasts available, and we also are aware that you're probably on public transport wearing earphones, which means it probably makes it a lot more difficult for random, attractive people to come and start talking to you.
Mm, so we do appreciate your sacrifice.
Yes, thank you very much. But for now, from me, Graham Sedley, from Terry DeFellin, and from Ian Bilton, it's goodbye.
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 You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @SoundOfFootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Right, well, we're going live in 5, 4, 3, 2.
That is so embarrassing. That was my tummy.
Are you going to do that all the way through?
I'm going to try not to.
If you're going to do that...
can't help it. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just showing appreciation for my tea,
right,
which was delicious.
Okay. Right. Remember, we're in a very, very small room.
Right.
Okay. Right. 5, 4, 3, 2.